It was an arduous climb over sharp lava and pumice stones in the midst of air often reeking with sulphurous fumes from the smoke-holes. For a man out of practice at treading land, the captain scaled the steepest slopes with a supple agility I couldn't equal, and which would have been envied by hunters of Pyrenees mountain goats. It took us 2 hours to reach the summit of this half-crystal, half-basalt peak. From there our eyes scanned a vast sea, which scrawled its boundary line firmly against the background of the northern sky. At our feet, dazzling tracts of white. Over our heads, a pale azure, clear of mists. North of us, the sun's disk, like a ball of fire already cut into by the edge of the horizon. From the heart of the waters, jets of liquid rising like hundreds of magnificent bouquets. Far off, like a sleeping cetacean, the Nautilus. Behind us, to the south and east, an immense shore, a chaotic heap of rocks and ice whose limits we couldn't see. Arriving at the summit of this peak, Captain Nemo carefully determined its elevation by means of his barometer, since he had to take this factor into account in his noon sights. At 11:45, the sun, by then seen only by refraction, looked like a golden disk, dispersing its last rays over this deserted continent and down to these seas not yet ploughed by the ships of man. Captain Nemo had brought a spyglass with a reticular eyepiece, which corrected the sun's refraction by means of a mirror, and he used it to observe the orb sinking, little by little, along a very extended diagonal that reached below the horizon.